Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1981. 1981. That is a lot of podcasts. The topic is Q&A and the title is Weekly Progressions and Proper Workout Intensity. We have covered this in past podcast, but they've been several years ago, so I wanted to revisit it, and that was prompted by a question one of my online clients asked me. So all of my online clients, they have an online journal that they can write in. It's a Google Doc, so they can write in it 24/7. I answer it every single week. We go through Q&A. I'll do nutrition reviews if they have a nutrition program, and then I'll do video reviews if they send videos for their training. So I work with every client a little differently. However, we're always working something usually with exercise and nutrition. So the nutrition programs aren't always the same. So sometimes there's more in-depth reviews. Sometimes there's more just general feedback and discussion. For other clients, I'll watch a ton of videos and give feedback. And some clients, we just discuss training rather than actually having individual videos. So it's really, I love it because it's a highly personalized approach and it's highly variable. So me as the person who does it all day, every day for all the people I help, I'm very blessed and very grateful, but it's also nice that it's not the exact same thing over and over again. It's not just a system that I plug everyone into. My goal is to create a system around the person rather than forcing the person into the system. Now, with this client, they are in college. They have a little bit of a history of like lifting weights, but they're still kind of learning things. They're still figuring things out. They're still in that beginner phase of training and learning their body and learning how to push for progression. So they wrote the following. I had a question about progressive overload and how much I should increase the weight from monthly to monthly programs. How much should I be increasing the weight from the last program starting at week one? My week one for squats was 115 pounds for 5 reps. So I'm guessing I should be using this as a starting weight for this month's program, if that makes sense. I'm going to go through and give the answer I gave them. However, I want to, before I get there, talk about in general, the clients that I work with, I send them brand new programming every 4 weeks. The program will sometimes have repeated components. For example, this client wants to eventually get into powerlifting, so we're going to have a lot of squat, bench, and deadlift. And in order for us to work on technical cues, we might be repeating the squat variation we're doing for a couple months. So we're not going to change from, you know, a pause squat to a front squat to a high bar squat to a low bar squat. They just need to figure out how to just do one type of squat and do it really well. Learn that, and then we can modify and play with some other variations. It doesn't mean I can't use other variations as accessories, but it means I want to have enough consistency in what they're doing that they can have time to work on and refine the positioning cues to develop the coordination for the lift. With that, though, I will always change something around the main lift. If I'm going to keep the squat the same, I might have a different mobility warm-up. Maybe the movements we do before we squat are different. I'll likely have different accessories, the movements we do after squats. Because as we're working on, say, trying to strengthen weak glutes, if we do that correctly, they're not going to be weak anymore. And we'll then run into some other thing being the weak thing. So we want to change our accessories, change our programming focus to always be chasing after whatever the current weakness is. Now, in an ideal world, you would say, well, why can't you just build up everything to be strong equally? That would be wonderful. And that is the idea of what we're looking to do. However, muscles, individual muscles of the body don't progress at the same rate. And there are a lot of anatomical issues as to why somebody might have one muscle a little weaker than another muscle. And now, your anatomical issues don't change from month to month. So if they have long femurs, and that makes conventional deadlift very hard on their upper hamstring connectors. That means that the upper hamstring connectors are going to be a weakness for them, and likely for quite a while, because it's a relatively small muscle comparative to the quadriceps, say, and say the glutes. So if we have the hamstring issue, that's going to be something we work on for a while. And it doesn't mean the programming isn't good if that is a weakness for a while. It just means that due to anatomy, that muscle group, that position is extremely exposed, so it takes a long time. Eventually, we do want to have somebody feeling equally balanced out, and you do get clients to those levels, especially in aesthetics. When you look at them and everything looks nice in proportion to the way they want, you can definitely do that. For strength athletes, you can get things to where they're relatively balanced, and then as you push for a competition and you just start kind of, oh man, there's just so many factors. There's so many factors in life. If the sleep is off, the food is off, if you're pushing for, especially like strongman, where the strength is, strength application is variable, you might have a competition coming up that very overhead press and deadlift dominant. Then the next competition, they might have some kind of weird like dead squat variation. So you back out of the deadlifts, you push more into the dead squat variation. You are always tweaking and modifying that. For sport athletes, even though the sport is always the same, if they play basketball, they're going to continue to play basketball. But the demands of basketball are multifaceted, multi-angular, so you're going to have a lot of different kind of components getting involved there. I know I'm hee-hawing around, but the reason why I want to mention this is it's not always as black and white and straightforward as we would love it to be. We do have to start with a black and white type approach and say, hey, you know, I'm going to start here, do this, and then as I develop more, as I learn more, I can start to expand on the complexities of what I do. So for this client, I wanted them to know that if they did 115 pounds for 5 reps last month in squats, that depending on what we do before or after squats, depending on where squats are in the workout. Maybe they used to be first and now they're last, so we have some more pre-exhaust work, or we've pre-exhausted them before and now they're first in the workout, so we're going to have more energy and just have more to give to the squats, and likely the squats will go up. So it's important to understand that workout placement and workout structure will influence a singular exercise's rate of progression. So now we'll get further into it, as if that wasn't. So I wrote back. I had a new program marked for next Monday. So I told him I was getting a new program set up and wrote about like what the new program will focus on. So we'll skip that part because that's not going to be useful for the podcast. It might be fun insight, but we'll move on. So I, as for the question, I said, great question. In general, when we aim for weekly or per program progressions, if the exercise is in the same quote-unquote condition as the previous program, meaning the same day, the same level of fatigue leading into the lift, for example, beginning of workout versus end of workout, then we'd want to make progressions in the following priority order. So I gave him the ways in which he can make progressions that apply to his training. Number one was improved technique. Number two is added weight. Number three is added reps. And for other clients, we might add a fourth component, which would be shortened rest periods. If they're working on cardiovascular endurance, if we're working on muscular endurance, we can shorten rest periods as a form of progression. For this client, they want to get stronger and build muscle. Shortened rest periods aren't really going to help do that. So I didn't want to include that and have them, you know, forego a couple of the more important options for that one, because it would probably be easier for them at this moment to shorten the rest periods. But I don't want them to think that that was optimal. And human psychology, unfortunately, we have to kind of control ourselves, is if I write the like improved technique, added weight, added reps, or shortened rest, the person's going to say, well, I'm doing the best as I can for technique. There's no real measurable way to know if I'm doing that or not, so I don't know if I'm doing that. Can I add weight? Ugh, maybe, but that's really hard. Can I add reps? Maybe, but that's really hard. Oh, I can shorten the rest period. I've been resting for 3.5 minutes. Now let me just rest for 3 minutes. Okay, cool. I've made some progression. No. In the sense that we wouldn't have wanted rest periods to be the fourth option and the person just to kind of get down to it and say, oh, okay, I can do that. That's exactly what people do, overwhelmingly. And as the person who programs and the person who sees the result of that, it's a little frustrating because it's not going to get them great rate of progression because they're choosing the easiest of the options rather than forcing one of the more harder options. And I don't mean force as in unsafe, but force as in you have to get uncomfortable. In order for us to progress the body and move the body forward, it has to believe that where it is at right now isn't good enough. And therefore, it has to make change. If I just go from a 3 minute rest to a 2.5 minute rest, or a 2 minute rest to a 1:40, that's not uncomfortable enough. It's a form of progression because you shortened your rest period, but it's not an uncomfortable enough progression. So we'd rather have the improved technique, added weight, or added reps. For improved technique, I wrote, if you have to repeat the same weight and reps, but you feel that you can do so with better technique, that is a form of progression and would be the highest priority, since improved technique increases the effectiveness of the exercise and the resulting adaptation. Meaning if you can do the lift better, you'll get more benefit from it, even without added weight or reps. Now, I would include typically that it would keep you safer, but in his early 20s, he's not really going to care about that. So I didn't even bother writing it. But it will also keep you safer as well. But over time, we want to improve our technique more than we care about pushing more weight or more reps. Because with improved technique, we do get better actual adaptation and response to each exercise. If I can feel the movement better, if I can move more efficiently, if I can have the best and most perfect stimulus from the exercise, then the weight and reps aren't going to matter as much because I'm getting a better quality. And that's what we really want. We want quality first and the most quality we can get. And then as quality increases, typically the weight and reps will increase as well. You can think about this is your technique, as it becomes better, you are then more efficient at displaying your current strength. So therefore, you can add 5 more pounds because now you have technique that's improved enough that you can display more of your true strength. So let's say, for example, that he's doing 115 pounds for 5 reps with 70% technique quality. Well, if he can improve his technique to 75 or even 80%, all of a sudden he can do 125 pounds for 5 reps. It isn't that he got 10 pounds stronger. He got 10 pounds worth of technique improvement stronger. So improving technique, and when we look at how do we get stronger, and that then correlates to a better adaptation response from the exercise, is we get stronger by improving technique, by having a proper mindset. Sometimes when people get under big heavy weights, they kind of lose their mind and they forget all the good cues. So that would be a mindset weakness. We want to fix our mindset on that. And or physical adaptations. So people can actually add weight to squat, bench, deadlift, add weight to exercises by physically getting the tissues stronger, or by just improving their technique to better display the strength they have, or improving their mental approach to heavy weights to better display the strength they have. Those are 3 areas of focus. If I'm looking at wanting to get somebody stronger, I would include all 3 aspects in the programming. And yes, you can actually include mindset in programming by having somebody escalate up on singles in certain percentages or weight load intensities and build up their confidence over time. I do a lot of technique where I'll have somebody at a weight that maybe they can do, I think they can do for 5 reps. I'll have them do 2 sets of 3, and then maybe a 3rd set, I'll say, just go to good form failure. Then all of a sudden, they're like, well, I know I can get 3. So they try a 4th, they try a 5th, and then maybe they get to the 6th, and they're like, holy crap, I didn't even know I could get 6. But knowing they got a couple sets in at a less than maximal intensity, got them to protect, like perfect their technique, zone in a little bit, and then they knew they only had one of those hard sets, so they could kind of ramp up and go for it. And it's a great way for them to learn how to feel more confident pushing themselves closer to actual muscular failure and fatigue. So there's a lot of techniques you can use there. But that was the first thing I wanted him to focus on, and what I'd recommend anybody to do when you're wanting to make weekly or monthly progressions is always, always, always look for improved technique first. How you're going to know you're doing that is the moves, the movement just feels more efficient. You feel a little more confident, and you're going to notice that, hey, if I did 115 pounds for 5 reps before, I remember that after 5 reps last time, it was super shaky. And when I racked it, I was like, oh gosh, you know, that was horrible. This time I racked it and I'm like, man, you know, that actually wasn't too bad. I might have actually been able to do one more rep if I wanted. So I didn't add weight. I didn't do the extra rep, but I could feel that the movement felt less stressful and maybe there was potential for more. The second thing we'd want is to add weight. If you can add weight, any weight, and this is what I wrote to him, even just 5 pounds, and you can actually do smaller than that because there's fractional plates, but even at 5 pounds, at a minimum, maintain. So if you can, let me start that over again. If you can add weight, any weight, even just 5 pounds, and at minimum maintain the same technique quality, then that is a form of progression. 5 pounds is the most common minimum weight addition people can make to their lifts in commercial gyms in America, if you're using pounds. However, there are fractional plates which can be used to add weight in smaller increments, which is more commonly seen in Olympic lifting. So I sent him a link to Amazon where he could see fractional plates at like 0.25 pound, 0.5 pound, and then 1 pound, and then 2 pound plates. So he doesn't need to buy those, but I wanted him to know that the 2.5 pound plates he sees in the gym, They're small. People usually discard those as being important. They're really important, and they're actually even large for a weight increase increment, is you can actually get down to even 0.25 pound increase. So I wanted him to see that and to know that it's okay. But then also, if he did have the expendable income, he could get the fractional plates, and that way he can make smaller jumps to feel less less nervous about 5 pound jumps. So if he did 115 for five and he doesn't know and he doesn't feel comfortable, if he can go to 120, maybe he can add the fractional plates and just go to, you know, 116 or 117, 117 and a half, just kind of make some smaller jumps along the way. And he'll likely find that he's going to be fine and can do more, but it gets us over that hurdle. It gets us through the process. So I continued. So in this scenario, you would try 120 to see if you could do it with as good of technique as you did 115 pounds last program. If you can do more, you'd add more in the subsequent working sets. So he has 3 working sets in this exercise. But plus 5 pounds would be the minimum target of increase, with any additional ability to increase weight being a big bonus. 5 pounds may not seem like much, but 5 pounds each month for a year is 60 pounds. And for 5 years, which is a common training length for most people, you'd have a 300 pound increase in your squats, which isn't very common. People usually can't sustain a 5 pound increase per month rate due to variable life factors such as food, sleep, life stress, training consistency, etc. So make 5 pound jumps when you can, but if you can't, don't feel bad. And what I wanted to get that across was, is he might be looking on social media and see people squatting 600, 700, 800 pounds and be like, oh, I'm only squatting 115. Yeah, I'll never be strong. So that'll shut him down. Or if I'm 115, if I want to ever be strong, I better, you know, take bigger jumps. And he tries only 5 pounds. It feels like the most he can do. But he might think to himself is, oh my gosh, 5 pounds is so small. It's absolutely meaningless. It is not. It is not meaningless at all. Think about if you made 5 pound progressions on your lateral raises every month. Good God. That would be amazing. But I wanted him to know that 5 pounds is awesome, and that would be a great place to start on his first working set. So let's say he's doing his warm-ups And last workout, he ended the last working set at 115 pounds for 5 reps. So this time he would warm up, and maybe he's going like the bar, which is 45 pounds. Then he goes to 85 pounds. Then he goes to 105 pounds. Then maybe he could go right to 120. So rather than 115, just try 120. And if his goal is 5 reps, he can probably do it at least one, right? He can do 120 for at least one. So maybe he'll get 1 rep, 2 reps, 3 reps. And maybe after the 30, he's like, oh, crap, I'm not ready to add weight. He can rack it then. But he might surprise himself and get a fourth and a fifth. And then he'll see what he can do for the second working set. Maybe he's like, okay, I actually docked 5. I think I could do it again because I did feel myself shift forward in my toes. If I keep better heel pressure and I externally rotate my knees and kind of sit more into my adductors, sit more into my hips, I might actually be able to do that for 5 again. So all of a sudden, maybe he improves his technique and the 120 at 5 actually feels relatively easy. He's like, ooh, you know, maybe my third set, if I can keep that same technique adjustment, I might be able to do 125 pounds. So he'll go up to 125, and maybe he gets it, maybe he only gets 4 reps, but that is a form of progression. He's been able to add a little bit of weight from the previous month and working to improve and continue to critique his technique is the target. Always, always technique first. Make sure that that's important and sustained to a good quality. And then you try to add weight if you can. The third priority, the third thing we'd want to do. So we said the first was to improve technique. The second is to add weight. The third we want is to add reps. If you cannot add weight, then our next best goal would be to add an extra rep. So if in the previous month we did 115 pounds for 5 reps, but you didn't feel you could do 120 pounds while maintaining good, safe technique, we would want to try 115 pounds for 6 reps. Even if just for one working set, any increase, even just one extra rep on one set, is a form of improvement and pushes the body to make progress. We often want larger increases than 5 pounds or one extra rep, but any improvement is improvement. And especially in the beginning phases of people getting into training and kind of learning their body and learning how to push themselves, any win is a win. Like, think about this. It's like if you'd say like any win is a win. Yeah, that's why you use the word win. So when you say any win, you're already calling it a win. So clearly it's a win. So any win is a win. Any improvement is an improvement. So if you improved, it's an improvement. Whether it's 5 pounds, whether it's 1 rep, whatever it is, if there's some measurable improvement, clearly it's an improvement because that's the term for the thing that you just did. It's an improvement. So that would be what we want to focus on when we think of weekly progressions. Is we want to improve technique always, first and foremost. And again, we said that that's important because it increases the effectiveness of the exercise and the resulting adaptation. So it's always more important to do things better than to do more weight or more reps. Doing more crappy work doesn't beat just doing the same but better work, if that makes sense. So improve technique, always first priority. Then added weight, then added reps, and then we said an additional thing could be to shorten rest periods, but for this client, that didn't apply to their goals. So it is helpful to know what increases, like what forms of progression relate best to your goals. For anyone, improved technique relates. Added weight, I would be hard-pressed to find somebody that would argue that that wouldn't be a beneficial improvement. because if you're weight training, the improvement of adding weight is increasing strength. At moments when adding weight wouldn't become optimal is usually in more advanced situations. So let's say we have a football player who can back squat 500 pounds for 5 reps as a high school running back. They're pretty good. They like pursuing more weight on a squat probably isn't going to get as great of a return as continuing to do more maybe mobility, more explosive drills, like explosive step ups, so weighted jump split squats, lateral movements like side to side jumps. You would want to do more athletic application movements rather than just more static, undirectly related movement. So, for example, squats are great, and they're definitely going to make a running back better. But there is a level of strength that once they get to that strength, more strength doesn't really help. Now, I've worked with professional athletes and Olympic-level athletes. I'm actually staring at some jerseys I have from some Olympic clients right now. And that's what actually made me think of. They were doing, the one athlete was a BMX rider, and he was doing a split squat, a Bulgarian split squat with 405, and he was doing sets of three or four on each leg. And then he was asking me, what can I do to get a little better? And I'm like, why the hell would you need to do more than that? I was like, you're doing 405 on a Bulgarian split squat. Like, you're good. And what was interesting was there were other components that we could work on that actually did increase their performance. So they did actually reach a level of strength on a very, like, very good movement for their sport that pursuing more strength would be arguable as to whether it'd be beneficial. So we were able to find other movements and other things that helped, so that way they could get better performance and make sure that the time in the gym was spent on the most directly beneficial things. So that was why that came to mind. So adding weight is going to be helpful for almost anyone, except for really high level advanced athletes or competitors or whatever your category is. Then there might be situations where adding weight might not be the best. So improved technique, added weight, added reps. When you add reps, you want to make sure you always stay within the time under tension that relates to your goal. So if your program, I hope your program has rep ranges. If it doesn't have rep ranges, I'm going to automatically say it's probably a piece of crap program. So if somebody just says, do 4 sets of 10 of incline bench, horrible. Horrible. Because, and I'll, like, oh man, I don't want to get too much into a rant because I'm already, like, talking too much. But let's see, rep ranges. Let me find you a good podcast so you can read more about that. There is podcast 982. I guess not read more about that. Listen to it. Podcast 982 is a training podcast titled Why Programs Should Have Rep and Percentage Ranges and How to Use Them. You can find that podcast, those older podcasts, on our website. You can go to the website, www.brutalirongym.com. On our homepage is the podcast player if you scroll down a bit. And then underneath the podcast player are instructions on how to find older podcasts. So you can find this podcast number 982. It's not that old. It was back in 2021. It's just I make a lot of these, so it's 1,000 podcasts ago. But it's good information. So if your program just has a singular rep target, trash, they should have a rep range. So if your program does have a single number, plus or minus 2 reps, that's going to be a pretty good range. So if it's 4 sets of 10, it should actually be 4 sets of 8 to 12, something like that. So give yourself a little bit of leniency in whatever your rep is, your rep target is, plus or minus 2. That's not going to change the time or tension too much between 8 reps versus 12 reps. So you're going to stay within proper time and tension range, which leads to the adaptation response that you want from the exercise. So when we do exercises of say 3 to 5 seconds versus 50 seconds, we get a very different adaptation response. So you want to stay within the time under tension that's intended for that movement. So if I have a target of 4 sets of 10, I don't want to keep making rep progressions and all of a sudden I'm doing 4 sets of 20. You want to stay within, a range of the rep target, which we said is going to be roughly plus or minus 1 or 2 reps. So when you add reps, if you get to the top of your range, you now have to go down to the bottom of the range and add weight. So let's say I started with sets of 10, I got to sets of 11, I got to sets of 12. I might say to myself, okay, now let me go back to sets of 8, but add 5 pounds or even 10 pounds. So you want to make sure if you're adding reps as a form of progression, you don't continue to add reps endlessly. You do need to stay within a rep range that represents the time and attention response, the adaptation response that you want as the outcome. So that is a rundown of weekly and per program, like maybe per month type progressions that we want to make. When we think of proper workout intensity, I've covered this in a couple ways. So I'm going to take a little bit of a shortcut here and just send you to some podcasts that would be helpful, because they're going to have way more information than what I'll fit into the rest of today's podcast. Is the proper intensity that we would want to have when we think of strength training. Podcast 1967 is a good podcast for that. It's a training podcast titled Where to Properly Apply Intensity in Strength Training. And essentially what we want to do is we want to have enough stress in our workouts that the body says, holy crap, that felt really challenging, really uncomfortable. I'm safe, but I didn't like that. It was very stressful, and I need to change a little bit so if they ever repeat that again, it doesn't feel quite as stressful. So that would be a really good podcast for strength, podcast 1967. We have another podcast, number 1713, which is a training podcast titled Determining Proper Working Set Intensity. And that'll teach you the right intensity you should have per working set. And that helps you kind of control each individual bout of effort, which will help you control your intensity per whole workout. And then we also have podcast 1846, which is a training podcast titled Controlling Program Intensity Wave Concept. And this talks about the way in which I set up programs for my clients, where week one of the program is going to feel challenging, but they're kind of learning the movements. So they're going to try to their best ability, but their ability is going to be lowered because it's a new and goofy, weird pattern. They haven't figured out the muscle patterns yet. So they're not going to be able to optimize their actual strength ability. So even though they're going to try very hard, it's actually a suboptimal week of training. Well, I definitely don't want to say that. It's not suboptimal. It's submaximal. That's a significant difference. So week one, even though they try their best, it's submaximal because they're still learning the pattern and the coordination for the movements. Week two, definitely more coordinated, definitely getting closer to maxing out their actual abilities. Week three and four, truly maximal, really freaking hard. And at the end of week four, we start really struggling. If we were to try a fifth week, it would be really hard to make any progression because they've already probably maxed out their ability for those exercises. So we just start into a new program with new exercises and we go back to week one. So this is how I structure workouts for my clients. It works amazingly well. So that's podcast 1846. In general, when we think about how intense your workouts should be, how you can make progress with proper workout intensity is a homework analogy. This is the way I like to think of it, is when you get homework in school, the key for the homework to be effective is it has to challenge your current skill set, but it has to be doable. Meaning, if you're learning division and multiplication in math, and the teacher sends you home with addition and subtraction problems, not going to be hard enough, right? You're going to be like, first of all, this isn't even related. Second of all, I can do these in my sleep. I'm just going to burn right through the homework, answer all the problems, you know, be done, and then I'm going to go play with my friends and do whatever I want to do. There's no adaptation. There's no learning because it was just so easy. If they give you addition, I mean, if they give you multiplication and division problems, but it's stuff you already covered in class, it's stuff you covered last week, hint, hint, last week in class, then again, it's not going to progress you. It's not going to push you forward because you've already gone through that. Just like if we repeat the same performances we did in last week's workout or the week before, the week before, the week before, it's just the same stuff again. We're not really learning. We're not really pushing our body to force it to adapt. So then the other end of the spectrum is if a teacher says, okay, here are 1,000 division and multiplication problems, and so far, you've only been working with up to two digits. And these are numbers like 4,747,000 times 50,557,000. You're never going to be able to do that, right? If you've only been doing, you know, 10 times 10 is this, and now all of a sudden you have 4 millions, you're never going to be able to do that. So it's so extreme that as you try to work through it, you're going to try it, burn out, get frustrated, not going to really be able to move forward in anything, and it stalls out, you lose motivation, and you quit. That happens when training progression is too aggressive, too intense. When we come into the gym and think that we have to go hashtag beast mode all the time, legs don't count unless you throw up. Good luck. So I have thrown up from leg training before. I know what that feels like, but I also know it's completely unnecessary. You can make great progress, growth progress, strength progress without throwing up all the time. You don't have to be in this state of mind where your workout is a battle and you have to get super psyched up and, oh my gosh, it's going to be the end of the world. Your whole day has to revolve around it. That can be exciting at certain seasons of life, but it's not going to be long-term sustainable. And it's not even necessary. We really want homework that challenges the skill sets we have now, makes us a little uncomfortable, but we can do it. We learn a little bit of something from it, right? But we can move on, do the thing the next day, next time class comes, do the homework again. The next time the class comes, do the homework again. And slow and steady over time, we learn what we need and we get where we go. Training is the same way. We want enough of a challenge that it feels uncomfortable, but not so much that I can't come back in the next workout and be able to have a good workout. I don't know if that was super helpful, but I like that analogy for me because I guess with my training, my teacher background, so I've taught at the university level for 7.5 years, and I actually did give homework because I was a jerk, but I gave students homework, and so it kind of relates from my mind, but that's the idea for proper workout intensity. It challenges who we are today so we can become something better tomorrow. There you go. Okay, hopefully that was helpful. If you have any additional questions, you can always reach out on the website, www.brutalirongym.com. You can go to the bottom of the homepage, and there's a contact form. You can send me any questions if you want. If you like the podcast, please consider sharing the podcast. The more people we share it with, the more people can be helped by it. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on the website as well. There is a financial cost to hosting this and doing it. I appreciate the donations we do get as they help contribute towards that hosting cost every year. And then if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.